Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts, the sound of our voices and the way we live our lives please you, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. In case you have not met her before, let me introduce you to Wangari Maathai, winner of the 2004 Nobel Peace Prize.
The tree is living, it's beautiful, it inspires, it grows upwards, it gives shade, it brings back life, and so the tree for these people becomes a symbol of hope that they can do something for themselves. You cannot give up. You cannot put yourself at the mercy of exploitative system. You must empower yourself. You must break the cycle. So even by starting with such a simple step of just digging a hole and planting a tree, it's like you are planting hope in your life and for your descendants.
Well, you know, I'm a child of the soil. As you grow up, you go with your mother to the land. And as you cultivate and remove the weeds, there is a feeling of contentment. A feeling that you are one with the land. The child of the soil.
As I listened to the women from the rural areas, it occurred to me that there is a problem going on the land.
I was hearing many rural women complain about the fact that they did not have firewood, that they were losing a lot of their topsoil, and that their children were suffering from diseases associated with the malnutrition. They were also complaining that they did not have enough water. And I eventually connected it to the fact that water was disappearing because we were deforesting our catchment areas.
That's what gave me an idea. Well, in that case, why not plant trees? I asked the women. Let's plant trees. And the women said, well, we would plant trees, but we don't know how. And we called the foresters. They came and they talked to women. They did not really see why I was trying to teach illiterate women how to plant trees, because to plant a tree, you need a diploma. I said, well, I don't think you need a diploma to plant a tree. I said, use your woman's sense or whatever there is. And so they just started very, very, very small, very, very small. And before too long, they started showing each other. And that's how that effort was replicated several thousand times. And before we knew, we had thousands of people doing the same thing.
I'm so thankful for the knowledge of Greenbelt Movement. I could not make it. I couldn't even get a dress. I didn't even have a bed or beddings. Because of the knowledge I gained from the Green Belt, I am now able to dress well, to sleep well, to eat well, and to do anything. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
The little grassroots people, they can change this world.
You cannot protect the environment unless you empower people, you inform them, and you make them understand that the resources are their own resources, they must protect them. So the movement now has started as a tree planting campaign. It is still a tree planting campaign, that's how we enter into communities, but it is a little more than just the planting of trees.
And so, in about 30 years, we have been trying to see how we can reclaim
those natural resources, reclaim the land, heal the land by doing something that is very simple and doable, and that is planting a tree. And so, although the symbol that people know us by is the tree, and some people cannot see what the tree has to do with governance or peace, when you go deep below the branches, and sometimes deep in the roots, you will see that not only were we planting trees, but we were planting seeds of peace, seeds for democracy, seeds for respect for human rights.
In the story from the Bible that Ellen read this morning from the Gospel of John, Jesus is at the grave of his friend Lazarus. Now, Lazarus has been dead 4 days. Jesus is upset. This is his friend who has died. And even Jesus could not keep that death away. But he would do everything he could now. Everyone could see how much he loved this man who had died. And so Jesus summoned up all his power. Before anything happened at all, Jesus turned his face toward God and gave thanks. This is a good practice. And then Jesus spoke with all the confidence and power that God on earth has, and mostly we think we do not have. He said, "Lazarus, come out of the grave." And Lazarus came out, moving, like a person alive. But the work was not finished. There was one more thing needed for Lazarus to become fully alive again. "Unbind him," Jesus said. He said it to the other people who were standing there. He said, "Take those burial cloths that are wrapped around Lazarus, tying him up so he cannot move. Unbind him and let him go." Now, wouldn't you think that Jesus would have wanted to do that last bit of triumphant victory over death stuff himself? Unwrapped his friend's body with a flourish so that he could be the first one to shake a hand or give him a hug? Why did he tell Lazarus' sisters and his other friends and neighbors to remove the cloths? Maybe there are some things that even Jesus can't do. Maybe removing the cloths or the ropes or the chains that bind people and keep them from breathing fully and deeply is something we have to do for one another. Something that only we can do. I hear an echo of another story of Jesus when there were many people, thousands of people, and the disciples wanted to send them away so they could buy food for themselves because they were hungry. "You give them something to eat," Jesus said. Jesus made sure that the food was enough, but they had to feed one another. "Unbind him," Jesus said to the people who had come to stand at Lazarus's tomb. "We are the ones who imprison one another, and we are the ones who must set each other free." When Wangari Maathai looked around her country, Kenya, she saw that her people were bound, imprisoned really, in a land that had been stripped clear of the trees that used to provide shade, firewood, food, stability for the soil. And the people had been stripped of their hope, their sense of connection to the land that had once been sacred to them. They were tied to a system that oppressed them in many ways. The people complained, but they felt powerless over a government that would not hear them. What could they do? And so Mathai started with the women. In Africa, like in many parts of the world, women are responsible for feeding their families. They plant and harvest the crops. If the land is damaged, the women know it first. If the water or the food is tainted, their babies will cry. If the well goes dry, women go and find new sources of water. They could blame the government, the people who had power, but complaining was not likely to make change, and it would only leave them feeling even more like victims. And so instead, the women began to do what they could, however small it was. They planted trees. With no particular training or technology or funding, they began to plant trees. They were told they didn't have the appropriate technology to do this work, but they used the method that worked for them. Take a pot, put in the soil, put in the seeds. Put the pot up somewhere where the chickens and the goats can't eat the seedlings. And that's it. And the women began to feel empowered. Together, they planted 30 million trees. And those trees began to provide food and shelter and income. Gradually, the women realized that they did not need the government to save them. They would do and could do something themselves that made a difference. And so they kept going. When they saw the government acting in a way that hurt people, they protested. When the police told them to go home, they stayed. When they were beaten and taken to jail, they did not give up because they had learned that they too had power to improve their country and their own lives. The trees themselves were important to Kenya, but trees were useful really as the tools through which those people learned to be free, to practice taking action. The movement that Wangari Maathai began is called the Green Belt Movement. And all over the developing world now, the Green Belt Movement invites people to plant trees to free them from their sense that nothing can be done, that their lives are hopeless. This is what she saw in her country. She saw that when the Europeans came to Africa, the communities that had always looked to nature for inspiration and food, beauty, spirituality, were told that their ways were primitive, worthless. They began to believe that the ancient culture stood in the way of progress. And so the people of Kenya gave up their culture. They let their forests be clear cut. They let their mountains be treated as though they were not sacred. And this is what Wangari Maathai said about this. She said, "People without culture feel insecure. They are obsessed with the acquisition of material things because those things give them a temporary security, but it is only a delusion. Without culture, a community loses its self-awareness and guidance. It grows weak and vulnerable. It disintegrates from within, and it suffers from a lack of identity and dignity, self-respect, a sense of destiny." When the Green Belt Movement holds seminars, it teaches people why it is important to plant trees. It is to save their land and their culture, she said. She said, "We invite them to hold up a mirror and find out who they are." This is why we call the seminars Kwimenya, which means self-knowledge. Until then, the participants have looked through someone else's mirror, the mirror of the missionaries or their teachers or the colonial authorities who have told them who they are and who will write and speak about them. They have looked only at cracked reflections. They have seen only a distorted image. You unbind him, Jesus said to the people who watched Lazarus come back to life. You have the power and the responsibility to set others free so that they can live fully the life that God has given them. When you think about it, unbinding, loosening the ropes, opening the doors, lifting the burdens that weigh down hearts and bodies, that doesn't require a set of right beliefs. You can stop and untie anyone, including someone who is walking on a path that is not your own. Someone walking on another path can stop and unbind you too. Cornel West once said, "Justice is what love looks like in public." Justice, making this world a place where all people can live fully human, fully alive, fully who God created them to be. Sometimes the tool for justice is trees, and sometimes it's whatever we are holding in our hands. Amen.